And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him followed him. And they found him and said unto him, Everyone is searching for you. And he said to them, Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling said to him, If you will, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And he sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, See that thou say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to the people. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Now this, which we set before you, beginning with the phrase, early in the morning, we must link up to the previous verse, at evening, when the sun was set. When the rest had come to the end of their day, his greatest work had to go on into the hours of the night as he healed the people. And yet, we find him now in the morning, rising up a great while before day, going out and depart to a solitary place and there praying. The Lord Jesus Christ was the servant, but never forget that he was Jehovah God who had become flesh to dwell among us. And constantly he went outside to pray. Now, prayer for the Lord Jesus Christ is quite different than prayer for us. We pray in ignorance. The Lord, of course, prayed in full knowledge. We pray desiring that God shall reveal himself to us and make himself known to us, while the Lord Jesus prayed in a oneness with the Father that they had always had even before the world began. The Lord Jesus Christ, in that oneness, was basking in that love of the Father. And there, for a while, he could be, as it were, back in heaven with the Father. He was not praying in ignorance to be taught. He was not praying in weakness, asking to be strengthened. He was praying in full communion with the Father. And yet, in this mystery of the humanity of Jesus Christ, we must see that he was constantly drawn out for this communion with the Father. And there's a tremendous lesson for us. For if he, in his great power, if he, in his great oneness with God, could feel the urgent necessity of that communion with the Father, how much more you and I must know, and you and I must feel after the Lord and go to him to receive the strength with which he fills our weakness, and the knowledge with which he fills our ignorance, and that we must come to him moment by moment by moment for all the needs that are ours. You remember in the epistle of John, it speaks of that our fellowship may be one with the other, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with each other. The vertical fellowship, and then the horizontal fellowship as we get to know one another in this way. Now, God is telling us that we are to enter into fellowship with him, and that fellowship is for us day by day, and that we take it from Christ as our example. Early in the morning, after having labored hard the night before, Jesus the servant is out praying. I don't think there's can be any doubt whatsoever that people who say, well, I don't have time to pray today, have misunderstood the whole nature of prayer. In Wesley's journal, he said, because I am going to be so busy tomorrow, I must get up an hour earlier to pray, because I have so many things to do. Or if you cut down on the preparation time, well, to fail to spend time in prayer is like saying, when you're going on a long automobile journey, well, I have so far to go that I don't have time to put oil in the automobile. Well, if you ever start on the journey without oil in the crankcase of the car, you're not going too far. And the time spent in seeing that the car is in order is the most important part of the journey. And beyond any question, this is the lesson that God would give to us, to you and to me, day by day by day. I've no doubt of the fact that some of you people here had your alarm set this morning and then turned over and went back to sleep or hurried fast, omitted prayer, rushed through certain things. Perhaps some of you chose breakfast to prayer. Some of you chose to look at the morning newspaper to prayer, and so on. But the Lord, by His example, shows us a great while before day, He understood the nature of the problems. He understood the nature of life and went to the source of power, fellowship and oneness with the Father before going out for the rest of the day. Then in the next verse, I want you to note the laggard disciples. Simon and they that were with him followed after him. You can see the scene in the house. They woke up. They looked around. Where is he? Where is he? Well, I heard somebody moving about this morning, but I didn't know. Let's go find him. And so they went and they followed after him, and thus they came and found the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they did, they said, everybody's looking for you. For you see, what had happened the night before had made a great stir. There wasn't a blind person left in the village. There wasn't a rheumatic person left in the village. There wasn't one person with a fever. The whole town had been cured. He had healed them all. So when people woke the next morning, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Now we know from many other things that it was a curiosity seeking. It was not that they were all devoted to him, for they had not understood. These are the people whom Jesus healed, are the people who later are going to cry for his crucifixion. We must never think that because Jesus performed a physical miracle upon a man, that there was of necessity the spiritual miracle of the transformation. And these people that were healed and their loved ones who brought them were a group of people like people that live today in Philadelphia, curiosity seekers, men of self-interest, who are grasping after the temporal and who want that blessing which touches them. Greedy and selfish, this is the mark of people. And so the disciples come and they say, everybody's looking for you. And this was a popularity that was the calm before the storm. And we must not mistake it, the fact that everybody was looking for him. And the Lord Jesus said, let us go into the next town. Note what is here. Here's the village where he has blessed everybody, and they're all seeking after him. And the disciples say, go back there where you'll be popular. And Jesus says, let's go into the next town. Always he was moved by the need that lay beyond. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was moved towards the next town, towards the place of need. We read in the 13th chapter of Luke in our scripture reading this morning that he was pressed, for this cause I came forth. He came forth from heaven. And here again, the same sentence is to be found. For therefore came I forth. And he does not mean that he came out of the house that morning in order to preach to the people in the next town, but that he came forth from heaven in order that he might go on and preach. And so in the next verse it says, and he preached in their synagogues. Mark takes you on in one phrase. You're already in half dozen different towns. Their synagogues. The synagogue was a community center where people could have a copy of the roll of Moses' law, and there they'd gather around for discussion, more often than not, discussion on fine points of the law. Now, on the Sabbath, is it possible to do this? On the Sabbath, could a person do that? Now, what does Moses mean when he says this and when he says that? There is no doubt of the fact that you must spend time with the Word of God, and that you must know what the Lord God wants you to do. But if you do not have the burning heart for those round about, if you do not weep because of the underprivileged, if you do not understand that you possess the incalculable blessings of God and that the love of God must drive you with an imperious necessity, woe is me that I preach not the gospel. I cannot feel that you have come in contact with Jesus Christ if you can be satisfied even just to go back to a warm Sunday morning atmosphere or a Bible conference atmosphere without feeling that there's the great desire to reach out. Oh, that people might understand how alien many of the things we do are to the spirit of the New Testament. I say these things because, not that I want to shock people, but because I want the Holy Spirit to break up your thinking, to get you out of the rut of religiosity. And here they were, in their synagogues. And then there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." A demon-possessed man had come the day before, and now suddenly, as he's in their synagogue, suddenly this leper comes. The leper wasn't in the congregation. I want you to think of what this leper had had to do in order to be there. He had to defy, have absolutely to defy all the law, for the Mosaic law would have put him to death, and they could have stoned him for coming near them. He was to stay outside the city. Under the Mosaic law, a leper had to cry out if anybody came near him, "Unclean, unclean." And we read from other passages of Scripture that the lepers lived in graveyards, hugging a cemetery stone to give them a little shelter from the adverse winds, and lying in places apart and seeking their food wherever they could beg it. And for a man to come in the midst of another group of men was to defy the law of Moses. But his need drove him. There was an imperious necessity that he might come and that he might be healed. For the news had spread around. Someone had come. A man over in the next town is healing everybody. And so there came this man with his cry. This man with his cry of need. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." There was no doubt about the power. Here was faith that understood. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." There was faith there. And yet there was hesitation. If thou wilt, and his very hesitation was an appeal to the pity of Christ and to the love of Christ. The Lord had come forth from heaven in order that men might be saved and that men might be healed and that men might be helped. He had come in order that he might touch men, and here was the man who throws himself before Christ. And that which follows gives us a picture into the very heart of Christ. For Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." Already last Sunday morning we saw that he took by the hand. And we pointed out that Mark in several instances, five different instances, mentions the fact that Jesus took them by the hand. He touched them. Now, here of course is the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see that hand reach out and touch that leper, we see the tremendous compassion of Christ. But don't forget that the fact that he reached out and touched that leper is only a little illustration of the much greater compassion that he had a hand to touch that leper. For the Lord God was in heaven. And before there could be a hand that could touch men, there had to be that greater compassion, the Word that was made flesh to dwell among us. And there in the incarnation we see the real love of God that brought him from all of the wonders of heaven into the insanity, into the cesspool of earth, into contact with men who were perhaps greater lepers than this one who had the outward marks. For the marks of the leprosy across the mind and the hearts of dignified and proud men was a leprosy worse in the sight of God than the mere physical eating away of the flesh. Oh, there's no doubt of the fact that the fangs of this disease had bitten deeply into the body of this man. But all through the whole of the last 2,000 years, leprosy has commonly in all Christianity been taken as a picture of sin, of that sin that reaches men and that touches every one of them. And that is man's, the great picture of the desperation of man, and his shows most his need of God. This man suddenly appeared in the midst of the crowd, his parched and shiny skin, the white pallor of the leper's face, the way that the flesh had been eaten from some of his bones. They cried as effectively as his tattered and smelling rags, the vast need of this man. But oh, that suddenly he should come and confront deity, not in the justice of deity, but in the love of deity. Deity with its hand stretched out. Deity that was ready to touch. And I say to every one of you, you know as well as I, that anything there is of frustration and disappointment and evil that has come in your life, it has come because of that greater leprosy that perhaps leaves no outward mark upon your face, but which nevertheless has marked the whole of your life, that has touched your heart and your mind and your emotions, and has left you in the place of your beggarliness. And this morning God is so ready. If any man will understand and cry out, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And there's no doubt of the fact that the Lord can. I don't care what the struggle has been in your life. I don't care to analyze the nature of the dirt. The verse is here, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thy touch has still its ancient power. And so the Lord was moved with compassion. And he said, I will, be thou clean. And then we notice that in this touch, here is the authority of Jesus Christ. Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? The disciples said on another occasion, and I can come and say, who is this man that a demon will tear a man and leave him? That leprosy will give back before this command of deity. Here is God, of course. Nobody else can put flesh on rotting bones and can heal up the scars of a virulent disease. No one else but God can do this thing. And in this touch, there is the authority of God that comes to pit itself against our need and to meet that need. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Almost as though leprosy had had a being that could take orders and go. We shall probably learn a great deal more about the inanimate's obedience to God as time goes on. For even the winds and the waves obey him. And he had subjected even matter to himself. And he tells us in Philippians 3 that when the day of our resurrection shall come, he shall change the bodies of our humiliation, that they may be made fashioned like unto his body by the power that he has to subdue all things to himself. And here already we read the first faint glimmerings of that day when he shall speak the word of authority that shall banish evil from man and shall banish sin from you and from me and shall not only make us like himself, but in an eternal body that can nevermore be separated from him. I want you to notice too this closing passage. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. And said to him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And now the Lord Jesus, after having allowed the man to do what Moses said he might not do, and having himself touched the man which Moses said he might not do, he now says, go back and do everything that Moses says. Go show thyself to the priest. Offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Well, why did he do this? Why did he tell him to say nothing? For us, he tells, go on, preach the gospel to every creature. We must not fail to understand that these were the first days of Jesus' ministry. We must realize definitely that the men to whom he spoke did not understand who he was. They would have taken him by power one day and made him king. Who was it that said nobody ever voted against Santa Claus? Well, you see, let's face it, the men of that early day were thinking in these same terms. They were egotistical to the highest degree. Here was a man that made it possible that they didn't have to spend things on groceries or on doctors. So if this man went out and said, I was a leper and this man Jesus healed me, it would just merely incite and arouse the thoughts of these men who had narrow, secular, selfish ideas. And Jesus said to the man, say nothing. It was the equivalent of what he would later say to his disciples, do not cast your pearls before swine. There has to be a spiritual preparation if we're to receive truth. God himself must plow your heart before he plants it. You must understand that if the seed of the word is to find lodgment in your hearts, that the ground must be friable, must be broken up, and that the earth may be so that you can take from the blessing of God the seed that is sown, and that it may produce 30 and 50 and 100-fold. But the man went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. For there was a type of testimony, you see, that blocked true spiritual growth. There is a type of testimony that blocks spirituality. You may not go and preach in your way. You must go in God's way. You must witness. Yes, you must witness, but you must understand who has done something for you and why he has done it. As we come to the close of this, you'll note that he was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. The Lord Jesus today, in many ways, is in a desert place as far as this world is concerned. In many, many thousands of places, men are preaching a religion of character without Christ. They're preaching ethics without redemption. They're preaching many things that are alien to the spirit of the New Testament and that leave out the necessity of Jesus Christ and his lordship and the absolute necessity of our bowing before him and taking him as he presents himself to us. But may we close going back for a moment to the leper and the touch of the Lord and point out to you that once more that his touch still has its ancient power. Whatever the need you may have brought in here this morning, if you look to him and say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, you will discover in the heart of the Savior a love greater than anything you ever knew. And he is so ready and so willing. He will. He is ready. There is no unreadiness in him to meet your need. There is no lack in him. There is no failure in the source of supply. There is no lessening of his compassion. His pity has never been diminished. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you with a love that drove him from the throne of God down to earth and to the cross of Christ. If only you can understand how much he loves you, his hand will be there to touch you, and you will hear him say to you, I will, be thou clean.